One of the things as a pastor that I try to do, in fact, this is part of what God has called me to do, and I've shared this many times, and that is to help Christians discover and be equipped to fulfill their ministry. Now, I don't do the equipping, obviously. That comes from the Lord. But what I do through teaching is to help them, or do the best I can to help them understand how they can be equipped from the Lord to fulfill the ministry that He's called them to fulfill. Now, in itself, that sounds kind of easy. In other words, okay, well, you just teach. One of the things you run into, though, is that a lot of Christians seem to struggle with the idea that God has a ministry for them. And then you have to convince them that, okay, well, maybe you did grow up on the wrong side of the tracks. Maybe you have had a rough life growing up. Maybe you spent time in prison. However, and, you know, go through the scriptures and show that, you know, as a Christian, you're a member of the body of Christ. And as a member of the body of Christ, God has a ministry calling for you. And it's not the same for everybody, but you have a calling. And then the other thing that you run into are Christians who believe they have a calling, but they've gotten off on a tangent relative to what their calling might be. And they have they've gone through all of these tests, if you will, to try to find out what their ministry calling is. Just the other day, and I won't give the website, but there's a website that has this on it. You know, discover your ministry gifting or something like that, and you click on answers for all of these. I forget how many questions they had, maybe 60 or something like that. And then I didn't do it because I just didn't want to take the time. But then after you go through it, there's something else you click on, and then it describes what your ministry, and all it had like maybe 20 or 30 different ministry callings on that website. Now here's the thing, you know, you can take somebody else's survey or test, and they might have 30 or 40 different ministry callings. And as I've shared before, that is not the way to discover God's ministry calling for you, because most of those little surveys and tests and so forth that you take, questionnaires, they're developed in either by psychologists, or there are psychology principles involved in those questions. In fact, what's interesting is that many of the questions on some of those surveys are not word for word, but, I mean, buddy, they parallel employment questionnaires that are given to people when they apply for jobs. You know, if you were the boss and somebody did, what would you do? If you were the, you know, the thing is, when you try to discover your ministry calling that way, what you're doing is you're depending upon the mind of man to develop a formula. And you don't have to do that, because in Scripture, we have a revelation of the ministry callings. Okay, now, you don't have to turn to that. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verses 27 and 28, just to reference this, it talks about that we're the body of Christ, members in particular, and God has set some in the church. Then it lists these different ministries. Well, those parallel with what's revealed here in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I don't have time to teach this, all of this in detail, but there is great, and I mean great, detailed teaching about the ministry callings in my teaching series, Taking Heed to Your Ministry, or Take Heed to Your Ministry. And, you know, if you get that teaching series, it breaks all of this down in minute detail. Well, if you look here in Ephesians chapter 4, before we start reading this, you know, God is giving to us another angle, you know, coming at this from another angle relative to our ministry callings. Okay, now, it says here in verse 7, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Well, in verse 11, he says, and he gave some, and as I've shared before, you could restate it correctly like this, and some of the gifts that he has given are apostles, and some of those gifts are prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, again, very briefly, in verse 12, where it says, for the perfecting of the saints, and then after that it says, for the work of the ministry, you're looking at that phrase, the work of the ministry, corresponds to the ministry calling of governments and the ministry calling of helps. And again, in that teaching series, Take Heed to Your Ministry, I break all this down and show you clearly from Scripture how this parallel comes out. And then there at the end of verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ, this is speaking of that edification process of praying in tongues, which is mentioned at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, where it talks about tongues. And then Paul reveals to us in 1 Corinthians 14 about how tongues, you pray in tongues, you're edifying yourself. So again, that's a very short version. I realize that some people might say, well, it's not very clear to me. Again, you know, get that teaching series, Take Heed to Your Ministry, and it will become very clear to you. So here we have these ministry gifts. All right, now what we do is we take people who are convinced, you know, by golly, I do have a ministry calling. I mean, I believe that now. I mean, used to I didn't. I questioned whether God would use me and so forth. But now I understand, yes. I mean, I am a part of the body of Christ. Therefore, I do have a ministry calling. Now I understand, after, you know, they listened to that series, Take Heed to Your Ministry and other teaching and so forth, I realize that there's no such thing as the ministry calling of nurse. I realize there's no such thing as the ministry calling of auto mechanic. I realize there's no such thing as the ministry calling of sound technician in a church. I realize that these are all things to do, but they're not ministry callings, because I can now see how that unless a ministry is clearly identified in Scripture, it is not a ministry calling. Now think about it. If God's the one that's given us the ministry callings, He's going to identify them in Scripture. Okay? Now we have people convinced that they fit into these categories of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, and governments. What you run into next is to convince them that not all pastors are the same. Not all evangelists are the same. And in that teaching, Take Heed to Your Ministry, I share how that when you hear about evangelists, many people immediately, they start thinking in terms of travel the world, visit the nations, preach the gospel. Well, some evangelists are called to do that, but not all evangelists. Some evangelists are called just to stay with, let's just say, within the region where they live, and they'll visit local churches within that particular region. And it's really interesting how that when you go through and explain how that, you know, a pastor or an individual who's called a pastor in Dayton, Ohio, is going to be used of God differently than a pastor who is pastoring in San Francisco. In other words, the very essence of the calling is still the same, but the way that calling is carried out is going to be different relative to where that pastor is fulfilling that calling. And it's going to be obviously based upon the way that God operates through that individual to bring that the fullness of that calling to pass. Same thing with apostles. I mean, if you read in the New Testament, you can see that there is a difference in the way that the ministry of apostles was carried out through Peter and the way it was carried out through Paul. Now, they both carried their ministry out and fulfilled it, but there was a difference because, you know, Paul was specifically sent to this group of people, the Gentiles, see? And Peter was sent to the Jews. So the way that Peter ministered to the Jews was different than the way that Paul ministered to the Gentiles. There were some parallels to it, but Paul approached it differently because of he was, you know, coming at it from a Gentile perspective. Anyway, all that said, you have to get people convinced that they're not going to be like big-time TV preacher. They're not going to be like world-traveling evangelist. The goal is to fulfill their ministry the way God has set them to fulfill it. I remember when I was teaching about the ministry of the teacher, and a lot of people think in terms of the teacher as somebody who maybe travels and teaches, you know, because a lot of these guys who travel in the crusades and the arenas and so forth, they're not evangelists, they're teachers, because there's a difference in the way that calling manifests. And some people think, well, yeah, I'll be a teacher like that guy there. No, because for some people, they are called to be a highly anointed teacher, but God specifically wants them teaching children their entire life. Just because somebody's called to be a teacher doesn't mean their ministry is going to be restricted to adults. Some people God has called, and as they are growing and maturing in that calling, they're going to have, it's like when they begin to teach, and they can bring it out in such a way to where like little 3, 4, and 5-year-old kids comprehend the teaching. Now guys, let's face it, that ain't me. I don't know how well I would do, you know, consistently with 3, 4, and 5-year-old kids. But some people, those who are called to the ministry of teacher, and that is, somebody's got to teach them. And here's the thing, traditionally in churches, what do? You know, the typical concept throughout the body of Christ is just find somebody who's willing to suffer through it and put them in that classroom. And just, you know, tell them to do their best. Well, what I encourage people to do is this. You know, it's not about you doing your best. It's about you doing what God's called you to do. You need to get into the presence of God and find out how God wants you teaching those newborns, speaking into the life of those 4-year-olds, et cetera, and so forth, you know, on up the chain. Because God said in His Word, train up a child in the way it should go. Well, if you don't have people who are called to do that, then if they just look at it as, well, you know, wait till they grow up and they can understand these things. What about 12-year-old Jesus? Didn't he confound the experts? And what about Samuel? Remember him? He was hearing the voice of God as a young boy. So when I begin to explain that, how that, you know, you can be called to be a teacher. And if God has called you to fulfill your teaching ministry to children, you'll be just as anointed as the preacher as the teacher that travels the world and fills the arenas. Because God wants to use you in this way. Well, you begin teaching like that, begin explaining, go breaking all these things down, and people, like some folks you can see, oh, yeah, I can see this now. Okay, I can understand that. And so, okay, now, here's what we run into after this, after all this. When does my ministry start? I prayed, Brother Martin. I sought God, Brother Martin. I read my Bible, Brother Martin. And now, Brother Martin, tell me when my ministry starts. It's like, well, I don't know. Well, but you've had all the answers up till now. I need this one. Where's the answer to this one? Well, let's look here. In Ephesians chapter 4, we've just read through verse 12. You know, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now continue in verse 13. Till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay, now there's something here I want to point out. Obviously, this is talking about growth and maturity here. Till we all come. Till we, you know, perfectly join together, so on and so forth. But look here in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now all things, that's rather all-inclusive, is it not? Would all things not also include your ministry calling? Grow up into Him in all things. Now, who gave these gifts unto men? Well, God through Jesus. Jesus, He called Him the administrator of these gifts. Took captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So now Jesus is the one who has given these gifts. Now, what are these gifts that He has given? Well, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps governments. So now, if He has given these gifts unto men, could we not say that Jesus, then, is the perfect pastor, the perfect apostle, the perfect evangelist, or you know any of the rest of them, that He is everything when it comes to the pastor, the teacher? So therefore, if I want to become the best pastor I possibly can be, or the best apostle, or whatever I'm called to be, then I need to look at Jesus, do I not? Okay, now, it says, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. Grow up into him in the fullness of my ministry calling. So here he is. He says, all right, now look. I've called you to be an evangelist. Now, I am the fullness of an evangelist. So if you're going to become the best evangelist you can become, since I'm the one that's given you this gift, I'm the one that you have to compare yourself to. What happens so many times in the body of Christ? Pastors compare themselves to pastors, do they not? Evangelists compare themselves to evangelists. Teachers to teachers, etc. and so forth. But now, if I'm supposed to grow up into him, that means I need to be comparing myself to him and not to somebody else. Now, that doesn't mean I can't get counsel and help from other people. We understand this, godly counsel and wisdom. But if I'm going to become the fullness of what he's called me to be, I have to grow up into him. Now, look over in Colossians, with that in mind, look in Colossians chapter 2. We'll kind of jump in this, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, if God is the, call him the ultimate source of each ministry calling, then the fullness of each ministry calling resides in God, administered to us through Jesus, which means that the fullness obviously resides in Jesus as well. It says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay, now, he says in verse 8, you better watch out, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, and after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, Christ is the one who's given the gifts. Therefore, if I am to grow up into him in all things, including the fullness of his ministry calling that he's given to me, then I better watch out that I am not spoiled or derailed through the vain traditions of men who would teach me, here is how you're supposed to pastor. Here is how you're supposed to evangelize. Now, they'll do this. The organizations and so forth, and some, they're trying to help, but at the same time, they're trying to get you to conform into their image as opposed to the image of Christ. And it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of your ministry calling. Okay, to paraphrase verse 9. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, or all the fullness of your ministry calling in him. So therefore, I am supposed to grow into him if I am going to grow into my ministry. You see this? Now, as I'm growing and maturing in him, he is not going to pull a fast one on me. Meaning, he's not going to lead me by the nose and make me think that I'm going to be one thing and then throw me a curve and I become something else. In other words, the whole time that I am growing in him, he is working in me. Like the Bible talks about God working in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Well, if God's good pleasure for my life includes me becoming an apostle, me becoming, you know, governments, if that is God's good pleasure, then as I am seeking him and growing, he then is going to be working in me to will and to do according to his good pleasure for me to become teacher or evangelist. He's going to be working in me to bring about the fullness of what he's called me to be. Now, if I get off track with that, and I start going to man and saying, okay, teach me your program, teach me your system, God's not going to be able to work in me, but who is? Man. I mean, really. Now, granted, now I want you to think about this. The man who wrote this, we know God, but the Apostle Paul, right? Now, who did the Apostle Paul mentor? Timothy, for one. And in 2 Timothy chapter, well, in 2 Timothy, Paul is basically handing the reins of the ministry over to Timothy. Now, do you think, or remember when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, follow me as I follow Christ? In other words, let me just kind of create a statement that Paul would have said to Timothy. I can't prove he said this, but Timothy, listen. You figured out now that God's going to use you as an apostle. And God gave me a revelation of that the first time I met you, that he was doing a great work in you. But now, Timothy, keep in mind, you're not conforming to me. You are conforming to Christ. Now, you can follow with me. You can see how I minister to people, and God will work in me, through me, to help you. But you cannot become me. You've got to become what Christ wants you to become. You have to continue seeking him. Now, you and I both know that is the kind of thing that Paul would have said to Timothy. So there is a place for that godly mentoring or guidance, or some people use the term a father in the spirit or a father in the faith, or, you know, something like that. I mean, whatever kind of a term you like, there is a place for that. But ultimately, we're conforming to the fullness of Christ. We're growing up into him in all things. He's the fullness of my ministry calling. And him is this fullness. So I've got to continue to grow into him to grow into my ministry. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look in verse 18. And this is the verse we look at so much, but this is one verse that to me, it says not just a mouthful, but it says a meal full. Verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here Paul is saying, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. Here's the image of Christ. That's what I'm following. Okay, now if you follow me, you're going to be hanging around in front of the same mirror, meaning you're going to be conforming to the same image. Now let's think of it like this. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Okay, now let's think for a moment. I'm changed into the same image. Now, if he's called me to be an evangelist, and I'm standing in front of that glass, and I'm looking at that image, I'm not seeing the image of a pastor. I'm not seeing the image of an apostle. What I'm seeing is the fullness of Christ the evangelist. Do you understand the context and how I'm saying this? Because if I'm going to conform to that image and he's called me to be an evangelist, he's not going to stand in front of me and present to me the pattern of an apostle or the pattern of a pastor. He's going to stand in front of me, I'll say it like this, just for teaching's sake, clothed in evangelistic robes. And as I'm standing in front of him, and I'm staying in his presence and seeking him, I grow into the fullness of the evangelist. Now, I'm conforming to the image of Christ, but Christ is wanting me to become his representative as an evangelist in this world. So, as I'm growing and I'm maturing and so on and so forth, the evangelist that he has sown in me, that ministry seed, if you will, that ministry calling seed that he's placed on the inside, as I am growing, that seed is going to begin to develop, it's going to begin to grow, it's going to begin to bear fruit, and pretty soon, evangelist fruit is going to start coming forth, or teacher fruit is going to start coming forth. You can't avoid it happening. It's just going to take place. Now, if you begin to discover what you're called, and I don't know, for whatever reason it scares you, well, no, it can scare you. I've talked to people before over the years. I know that God's called me to be a pastor. Well, okay, but that scares me. Because I know too many pastors that have been burned by people in their churches. It's like, well, you can be burned or crucified, one or the other, but it's going to happen sooner or later. It's like, you can't be afraid of it. Look, you might as well get used to this. Accept it now. When you conform to the fullness of the image of Christ in that ministry calling he's called, sooner or later somebody's going to do you wrong. It's just going to happen. Get over it. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So just, you know, like they say, grin and bear it. And just, you know, like he says, count it all joy. Just, you know, keep going forward in the fulfillment of what you've been called to do. Now, why then, you know, somebody might say, okay, well, you know, Okay, I know I'm called to be a pastor. When do I start? Or I know I'm called to be an evangelist. When do I start? And in many cases, the pastor of the church is expected to help this newbie evangelist get into churches and preach. Now, that's not wrong, because I can tell you this. Did not Paul tell the Corinthians, I'm sending Timothy in my place? So that he opened that door, so to speak. But today, when somebody says, I'm called to be a preacher, the pastor is expected to open doors, and in many cases, the pastors do, without taking into account how much growing this person has done. They just call their pastor friends. I got somebody here. You know, they're doing pretty good. I've had them preach a few services. For one, if you could have them on a Wednesday night. I mean, that's how it happens. Yes, I've received calls like that. Man, you talk about being put on the spot. Because you know the only pastors who call me over the years who have called me about something like that are the ones who know me, are the ones who consider me their friend. Now, how do you tell your friend on the inside, my good friend, God is telling me, don't let that guy come near my church. Now, I'm exaggerating here, okay? But you guys see what's going on. All right, now, God's called me to do this, and I need to get started. All right, look over in Psalm 75. Because what I'm getting ready to show you here is really going to upset some people's apple cart. In Psalm 75, verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Now, who's responsible for promoting you in ministry? It's God. You say, well, what's he waiting for? Did we not read earlier? We are to grow up into him in all things, including that ministry calling. God putteth one up, he's the one that gives the promotion. Here's how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to have a pastor walking in enough wisdom to know when and how to use a person in ministry. The problem is a lot of pastors don't know this. They don't understand. And this is why you have a lot of people. Guys, look, I'm just going to be honest. This is why you've got a lot of people out there preaching. They can shout. They can scream. They can spit. They can run the aisles. They can stir people up emotionally. But there's no depth. There's no content. Likewise, you have a lot of guys out there who have been able to get churches, pastor churches, because of who they know, or because they're in a denominational system and they bug whoever is over them to the point till finally the person in charge gives them a church. Now, I've seen this happen. And I've had to sit back in time, just kind of bite my tongue and not say anything because I was a part of a denomination and think, you know, I don't want to just... I'm willing to give people the benefit of the doubt. But there are times when on the inside, it's like God knows what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking, man, this guy, there's no way. There is no way that this guy should be behind the pulpit. But yet, there he is. And he's messing people's lives up. And that's a hard thing to say. But when you've witnessed it, it happens. And there are a lot of people, because they're the right place at the right time, because they make the right friends, say the right things at the right time, so on and so forth, demonstrate a cursory knowledge of God's Word, and in some cases demonstrate a great, great amount of memorized Scripture. Memorized Scripture does what? It just means you've got it memorized. It doesn't mean you know it. And those kind of people oftentimes are promoted. And many times pastors, out of friendships with people and so forth, will promote. But think about what would have happened with Paul and Timothy. Paul takes Timothy with him. They're going from here to there and there to here, and they're ministering and ministering, and Timothy's growing, and so on and so forth. Timothy begins to realize, you know, I'm called. You know, this is my ministry calling. And because he's working with Paul, do you think that God would have said something to Paul sooner or later Paul, tomorrow night, when you are there at Ephesus, what I want you to do is let Timothy do the preaching, the teaching. Paul would have said, Timothy, I've been praying about this, and you know, you're supposed to have the service tomorrow night. You're supposed to minister. Now, for one thing, if you're Timothy, you know you're going to be intimidated. How would you like to preach in front of Paul? A guy that writes over half the New Testament. I mean, yeah, way to start. And yet, you know that's how it would have worked out. That Paul would have said, now, Timothy, tomorrow night, or you know, tomorrow afternoon, or however they did it, you know, you're going to have the service. And then God would have spoken to Paul and told him how to start using Timothy and so forth. Now, Timothy, at that point, he could have allowed pride to take over, but he didn't. He stayed humble. Now, if you read through everything that Paul wrote, you're going to catch a glimpse that there were some who were with him for a while, traveling with him, and abandoned him. And over in 1 John, John writes about this, that there were some who were with us, but they're not a part. They went out from among us, but we did not send them forth. We did not, you know, and Paul identifies some of those problems in like Galatians and really even to the Corinthians as well. Now, God is the one that gives promotion, but how does he promote? Well, he promotes through people. And what I mean is this. When you are in scriptural submission to a local church, to a pastor who's doing what he's supposed to do, that pastor is going to begin to hear God. God will begin to show that pastor things about the people in the church, you know, who's growing, who's not, who's ready, who's not, who should this, who shouldn't that, and so on and so forth. And there'll come a point in time to where the pastor will begin to use people in the church. Now, some folks can get very, very frustrated. And at times over the years, since I've started pastoring, I've been accused of holding people back. But guys, you've got to understand, I'm not holding anybody back. I do my best to try to hear God to know when to use people and promote people and use them. Because I've shared before, relative to what God has called me to do, I need every person in this church growing and maturing so that, listen, as I stand here right now, there are places out there that have contacted me about ministry help. I can run you into the ground. And I'll just sit back here and stay comfy and relax, and I'll have you going out there because I'm contacted. There are other countries that are asking for help, but I can't do it. I could if I just wanted to pack up and go and, you know, be here a week and there a week and over here 2 weeks and so forth. I could do it just to do it. But on the inside, God is saying, it's not the time for this. I need there are places in this country right now. Right now, in this country. All it would take would be a couple of phone calls, a few emails, and I could let people know, look, I've got somebody right now ready to come out there and stay with you for 2 weeks. I need people in this church growing and maturing so this can happen. Because as I've shared before, this is a part of what God's wanting to do in this ministry. Remember, I've shared with you before, don't look at this as a church. This is a ministry that includes a church. But it is much, much more than that. Well, God is the one that promotes. And so when it comes to people, well, yeah, but I want to get out there, I want to do this, and I want to preach, and I want to, you know, whatever it is they want to do. It's like, praise God. We all want you to. But you've got to grow up into Him in all things. He is the fullness of your calling. He's the fullness of your ministry. You've got to spend time with Him. And this goes back to these things that I've shared before. You know, grow in Him. How did Timothy grow? Let's think for a moment. How did Timothy grow? He grew because he applied the teachings of Paul. Did he not? Like in 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul was teaching about praying in tongues. I'll guarantee you, that what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about praying in tongues, you could have had a whole Bible full of writings about the times when Paul and Timothy would sit down by a campfire at night and just talk way into the middle of the night about praying in tongues and what it would do in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You know they had those conversations. You know this went on. And so Timothy, he's listening to all of this, and he's just not just listening. He is absorbing it. And it's becoming a part of him. Now, on a variation of that theme, one of the things that I've said so many times is, get these things, these teachings. Okay, I'm not Paul, and I know that. But get these teachings. Listen. Pray in the Spirit as you're listening. Follow along in Scripture and create your own notebook or, you know, with your computer, whatever it is. And what's going to happen if you do this? God is going to begin to speak to you, and He's going to begin giving you things that I haven't taught, just variations on the theme of what I've taught. And you're going to have to stop the CD player, or if you're listening to it online, you know, pause or what. You're going to have to stop because the Holy Spirit, He's not respecting me. He's respecting what you're doing in the presence of Jesus. And it's like the Holy Ghost is going to say, you know, turn him off. Yeah, I know you like your pastor, but, you know, stop him for right now and listen to me. Because I've got some things, what you just heard. Remember just a moment ago when Pastor Jim said such and such? Remember you felt a little on the inside? Stop it now, because I want to take that and develop it into a theme. And you're going to be with me for the next hour and a half, not him. Then when we're done, you can pick up and start listening again. I'm telling you, it happens that way. It works like that. It's a part of the growing process. And then what you end up with, all this material. And it's like, wow, man, this is great stuff. I mean, you know, pastors preached this before, but, I mean, this is like a wheel with spokes. Well, this is just another spoke headed in the direction of the same subject matter, see? And God's up in heaven saying, hey, you're doing good. You're growing up into Him. Right here on my right hand, you're growing up into Him in all things. You are growing up into the image of that evangelist, that pastor, that apostle that I've called you to be. You're growing up into that image. And the time's going to come, that fruit's going to start coming out of you. You're not going to have to try and prove it that you're ready. It starts coming out. That life, call it this way, say it this way, the life of the pastor in you starts to come out. The life of the evangelist in you, it's just going to start to come out. It's just going to be there. And then God's going to be able to start using you. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Over the years of pastoring, one of the things that has, and I'll say it this way, it's kind of dramatic, but one of the things that's really broken my heart are the people that God has shown me that can do this or do that or called for this or called for that. And I know what they're supposed to do and they don't do it. And I know, and at times they actually step away from what He's doing. And I sit back and I watch. And it's frustrating for me because if I could control another person's life, I would hog-tie them and bring them right back in and force them to do what they need to do to grow into Him and into the fullness of what they're called to do. But you can't do that. And so there are times where, you know, you sit back and you just watch people ride off into the sunset and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's not that they didn't have potential. It's they just did not apply. They just did not focus in on that walk with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians, look here, in chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." So now, looking at this verse, a person's called to be a teacher. So God is going to entrust them with the gospel to be able to teach it. But He is also going to try their hearts. Think of it like this. He's going to look not at what they've got memorized in their head, but He's going to look in their heart. He's going to examine their heart, and He's going to see where they are as far as growing into Him into all things, into the fullness of that calling. And if God sees, let's just use percentages. If God sees that a person is at 10%, then God can only use that person at that 10% level. They're wanting to be used at 70%, and yet God knows they've only developed into their calling at a 10% level. But they don't see this. In their minds, they're ready to go. Well, you know who takes the heat for this? It's the pastor. You're holding me back. I'm not holding you back. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you're at 10%. I mean, listen, I'm at 50, all right? And if you think that I'm going to push you, you see what I'm saying? God's going to look at a person and he knows where they are. Now, let's give ourselves a little bit of a break here, all right? Few Christians in the body of Christ have ever heard teaching like this. I don't mean me. I'm talking like this message tonight. Few have ever heard that it's not about, you know, filling out the forms and taking the tests for your organization, your denomination, your church. It's about growing into the fullness of Him. It's about, you know, following Christ. It's about conforming to that image that is set before you. It's about intimacy with Him and growing and developing and maturing spiritually. And if you don't do that, God won't promote you. He's not going to, man will, but God won't do this. And so people say, well, you know, I believe I'm called to be an evangelist. Okay, praise God. Now what? Well, can you open up any churches for me? yes, I can, but no, I won't. Well, you're just not any help to me. I'm going to go find another church that will use me. I remember there was a pastor. A guy came to him and was talking, didn't even go to the church, but was talking to the pastor about, you know, what I can do for you. And the pastor is sitting there listening to this, and at one point the guy looked at him and said, you don't know the gift of God that is sitting before you. And the pastor, he just kind of sat there and listened to this guy. Well, you know, it didn't go anywhere. thank God. Because I know this pastor. That's the attitude, though, of most Christians. If you can get them to the point of believing that they've truly got a ministry calling and get them to the point of understanding what ministry callings to try and identify and pursue, even if they're wrong at the beginning, if they keep pressing into God, if they keep spending time in His presence, keep conforming to the image, He's going to correct it. And they'll come back and say, you know, I thought I was supposed to be an evangelist, but now I realize I'm supposed to be an apostle. I remember when I first started in ministry, I did not want to pastor. I didn't want to do it. It's like, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to go preach everywhere, hallelujah. Stir up trouble and go home, that's what I want to do. And finally, it's like 3 years. Finally, I'm driving down the road. I can take you almost to the spot on the particular road where I was driving when I prayed this. Well, God, I'll tell you what. I think my attitude maybe has been wrong. If you want me to pastor, I'll pastor. I'll do it. Well, let me tell you what. The moment that I said that, and I also said, you know how I feel about it. After I said that to him, man, it was like one thing after another just started falling into place because I changed my attitude and I was willing to do it. Well, here I am. And listen, I am not trying to present myself to you as the perfect pastor. I know better than that. Because all too often, God has a little sit down with me and says, let me show you some things. So, there's still a lot of things that need to be corrected in me. I understand that. And I'm willing to admit it. But, what I'm saying is, when it comes to being promoted in ministry, see, I know for a fact that out of all the people who would say, Grace Christian Center is my home church, let's just say there's at least one or two or three people that have wondered about, well, you know, like when? Like, you know, when? Like, come on? Like, Pastor Jim, when are you going to do something for me? Now, I'm not in those exact words, but I know that some people have wondered about, you know, how come I'm not being used? How come? And it's nothing personal. Honest, it's not. You've got to understand it. Too many times people take this stuff personally, and it's not personal. See, listen. If I were to promote people quicker than what God is showing me, I could destroy your life. Now, this, I'm going to share something with you. This is my opinion, and I don't really know that I have a lot of scripture to prove it, but I believe it's possible that there are evangelists and pastors, teachers, who have gotten caught up in inappropriate activity because they were promoted too quickly into their ministry. The Bible talks about not promoting a novice. And there are too many people that they've been Christians and for years, and because of that they think they're ready, they're still a novice. If you want to be promoted by God, see here, think of it like this. There is nothing about God that wants to hold any of us back, just to hold us back. And here's why. You're looking at over 6 billion people on this planet. God needs people fully conforming to the image of Christ and their calling, so that He can promote them for two purposes. One, win the lost and make them disciples. And two, go into the Galatian churches and correct the bewitching. Remember, who has bewitched you, you born-again, spirit-filled Christians, that you've diverted off the path of truth? Those two purposes right there. God's not going to hold anybody back. You've got to understand that. He needs us growing and maturing so that He can get us busy doing what He's called us to do. A lot of people have said things like, well, I'm just too old. Kenneth Hagin started Rhema Bible College when he was like 57 years old. I'm not even 57. I might look it, but I'm not yet 57. You're 8, don't worry about it. I forget how old Smith Wigglesworth was when he finally decided to do what God wanted him to do. But he was in his, I think, like 40s or something like that. 48. So it's not, listen, don't look at all the failures of your past. Don't look at what you've not done. Look at what God's waiting for you right now to do. God wants to promote you. I don't care who you are, what you're married to, it doesn't matter. God wants to promote you. Get in there. Conform into Him, grow into the fullness of that image, and He is going to move you forward. So people aren't holding you back. And God is using you, say it like this, God is using you to the extent that He can use you at this point in your life. Now keep in mind, there are a lot of other things. It's not just spiritual maturity. There are a lot of other things that have to He has to work to get in line and so on and so forth. So it's a development process. But keep pressing on. And don't stop and believe this. Please accept this and believe it. God will promote you. Conform to that image, and He is going to promote you.